Grace to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
From Isaiah, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. Jesse was King David's father. So when Isaiah says, a shoot shall come out of what is left of the history of the Israelite people, shall begin to grow and give life. And Christians know that life to be Jesus. What is the land of your experience? The land of most of my life has been lived surrounded by green, from fields of corn to hills of forests, not trees of the West like you hear me dream about sometimes, but nonetheless green. It's always been that way. For a big chunk of our life, we lived on the western side of the eastern Appalachian Strip through Maryland, just over the hill from Camp David. And that was a beautiful hill in many ways. But if you walked in it, you knew that something was wrong. There were no trees. There were trees, but not big ones. And every once in a while, you would run across what appeared to be a stump. Well, it goes like this. The people of the late 18th century and early 19th century dwelled in that mountain and cut down all the trees and burned them to make charcoal that they shipped to Baltimore to heat our homes. That left those mountains there not green with trees, but blank with stumps. The National Park Service put a park there, and Camp David there, and if you walk down through the whole strip of the Appalachians there, you'll find national park after national park, because the country had to do something with those barren hills that were left over by human abuse a century before. Someone had to bring life. I am seduced by green. Green forests, green trees, green fields. I remember our earliest trips to the Northwest, begging the kids to sit down and shut up. Out the window, see what's out there. We were passing through the northern part of Minnesota, which is nothing but trees. I kept telling them, look at what's out there. And they said, it's just trees. And we kept harassing them. And finally, Christine stood up on the seat and said, hi, treesies, 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 hi, treesies.
Endlessly.
This past summer, we traveled in a very different direction towards the southwest to see Joshua Tree National Park. The land of Joshua Tree Park is a desert, if anything is. And there are strange trees that grow there that are interesting trees, but nobody's ever going to cut them down for lumber. The land of the Judeans, in many ways, was a bleak land. They dreamed of lumber from the lands of their neighbors from the north and the east. They dreamed of living where the cedars of Lebanon came from. Because the cedars of Lebanon meant lumber, they could use them for temples, they could use them for homes. Success meant trees. But it was not to be. Failure in hopeless wars pushed them back again and again. Often, all around them was desolation and hopelessness. Set them down in your minds for the beginning of this morning. For the Judean deserts and barren places are places to be shied away from, places even to be feared, filled with foreboding and the fear of death. To understand parts of the Bible, you must understand an oasis mentality of a people to whom this was originally written. The Jews of that time lived surrounded by desert, big deserts, the Arabian desert, the Dead Sea, the Sinai, but also by little ones surrounding the oasis that they called home. They moved from one green spot to another. Every oasis, every well, every source of water became a place of community. They lived with, but they feared and avoided barren places. The Bible speaks in the voice of Isaiah, they became what they feared. A wasteland, a desert, and from the reading this morning, a stump. They became that way for all of the reasons that we human beings usually fail. There's greed and waste and corruption. Yet the desert was not always a bad place. There were famines that eventually drove them to across the Sinai to Egypt, where they found food. You remember that story. And that exodus from Egypt became their birth as a nation. So deserts don't always do bad things. And then there was the wilderness of the exile. When they finally were destroyed as a people and carried off to Babylon, across the desert they lived until finally they were permitted to go home. And it is true that that time they spent in Babylon was the most creative time in their life as a people. So creative they didn't want to go back across the desert to go home. But they did. And that is the history of the Israelite people. Desert is not always a bad place for them. That desert sometimes creates real possibilities. Because some of them went out into the desert to be baptized by John, into the desert to be redeemed. John was suspicious of their motives, but not of their means. In the desert, they could leave all things behind. There is an invitation to you, an invitation to the desert. Leave the familiar parts of your life with the well-constructed protections. We're not usually willing to do that. But Advent calls us to journey through the desert, to look toward God's gift, that seed that comes from the stump of Jesse and becomes the Savior of the world. This is a time, a confusing time, time for temptation to get right to Christmas, to get on with the party. But it's also a time to be in the desert, to explore what it means, to wonder what's going to happen, to let the creativity of a desert experience move in you. Those hills of Western Maryland, some of you know what they're like. They're young, they're not mature. They're coming back. That's what God promised to the Israelites, that there would be a time when they would come out of the desert, when they would find life and they would find joy. And it's the journey that we ask you to make in this Advent season, a time to walk through the hard things of life and look toward the promise of God's gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a story that I told this morning, and I said I probably shouldn't, but nobody hung me, so I'll tell it again. A fairly old pastor, actually, was without a call. And he was making interviews in different churches, and he tells a story of a church that he went to and thought that the interview with the call committee was going okay. But there was one person left to ask her question, and I won't describe how he described her. But do you think it's okay to sing Christmas carols during Advent? And he said, I think if you want to hear Christmas carols, go to Walmart. The problem is that we want to skip right through Advent, skip right through the hard stories. But this morning, Isaiah talks to a people in trouble and proclaims to them that they will come out of it, that there will be life, that God will pick them up as a people. And that's what we look forward to this Advent, the birth of a child who will become the Lord of all, who will bear to us a promise of hope beyond hope, hope beyond death, hope beyond fear, hope beyond failure. That birth will bring us to Christmas and to Jesus and to God's promise of abundance. But for a while, think about the hardness of your desert and bring that hardness to God in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.